Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
Well, the first one is Frank Gaffney, who's certainly a friend of World Prayer Network. We've had him on many times. And tonight, we're very privileged to have him share about World Health Organization. So I'm just going to ask you, Frank, and you know, we may have Jim jump in here sometime if they can get connected. But would you just take a minute, Frank, to share just a minute about yourself in case people don't know who you are? Just take a minute to share that, and then you can go ahead and give us an update on the World Health Organization.
Judy, thank you. I'm delighted to have a chance to speak to you all. My background is that I had a providentially early achievement, which was the privilege of working for President Ronald Reagan. I acted as an assistant secretary of defense during his administration and had on the job training that just didn't quit, let me put it that way, as well as the experience of a lifetime working on nuclear forces and U.S.-Soviet relations at the time, at a really crucial moment in the struggle of the Cold War, and had a ringside seat, an opportunity to play a small part in his takedown of the Soviet Union, what he called that time's existential threat to freedom. As to the rest of my career, it's been pretty much downhill ever since, to be honest with you. I guess my principal claim to fame is shortly after leaving the Reagan Pentagon, I established an organization we call the Center for Security Policy. Another gift from God. It is still going 35 years later. It's now under considerably better management with a man of God by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Tommy Waller as its president and CEO. I'm its executive chairman. We do a bunch of things, and I'm happy to talk about those as well, but that's probably enough for the present moment. I'm privileged to be with you all.
Well, thank you so much. And we are eager to hear an update on the World Herald organization and how we can pray for it also, and what action we need to do. So update us, please.
Well, let me just say at the outset that I hope you'll be praying against the World Health Organization when I'm done with it, because it is an outfit that probably all of you have had some experience with, whether you know it or not. And that is because during the recent unpleasantness, notably what's known as the COVID pandemic, the World Health Organization played a decisive role in getting the United States and nations all over the world, but especially ours, to adopt wholesale its recommendations about, both the nature of that virus, its transmissibility, the other characteristics of it, most especially of importance for this purpose, how best to treat it. And when you look back, on it with the benefit of hindsight, it's pretty clear that what the WHO, as it's known, did was basically encourage everyone to adopt what they called, and others did, the China model. Now, what was the China model? The China model was that this virus came from nature. It was not engineered in a biowarfare laboratory. It was not transmissible between humans. And what was the appropriate way to respond to it was to wear masks, to social distance, to lock down, to take jabs, including most especially of inadequately tested so-called vaccines, actually gene therapies. And if you are among those whose lives were directly touched by that bad advice, and it was advice, this is a key point to the whole presentation tonight, the World Health Organization at that time had nothing but advisory power. And yet the Centers for Disease Control, Tony Fauci, the FDA, the federal government more generally, embraced that advice, as did doctors and hospitals and other medical institutions and pharmacists and so on. basically lock, stock, and barrel. And what we got was a totally inappropriate response to a pandemic. Dr. Robert Malone, who I'm sure has been on your program at some point, is a friend of mine, and I interviewed him the other day for this program you see over my head, Securing America, which runs on the Real America's Voice Network and also the American Family Radio Network as a radio show. He said to me that he estimated that of the, what is it now, 1.2 million Americans who were killed by this Chinese bioweapon, about 80% of them needlessly died because they followed the protocols, the advice, the recommendations of the World Health Organization. Given that track record, ladies and gentlemen, you may find it absolutely, well, stupefying that anyone would think what we should do now is transform, Barack Obama might say, fundamentally transform the World Health Organization from an advisory body to one that has literally dictatorial powers when it comes to what they're calling public health emergencies of international concern. In fact, they're not even reposing all of this power to declare such public health emergencies, but also to dictate what must be done in response to them, to this institution, this UN body based in Geneva, Switzerland. No, they're reposing that kind of authority, I would argue unprecedented in the history of the world, in a single man, the director general, as they call him, of the World Health Organization. The incumbent is a man by the name of Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. Prior to this position, to which he was basically appointed by the Chinese Communist Party, his claim to fame was that he was one of the functionaries in an Ethiopian government run by Marxists that have been described by the United States government in the past as terrorists. He is not a medical doctor. In addition to having those attributes, he does not actually have a medical degree, though he's a PhD. And they call him Dr. Tedros, which is probably not a bad thing because you need to begin thinking about him as your next doctor. And that's because if he has his way, at the end of May, about 11 weeks from now, the World Health Assembly, a group made up of all the member nations, will be convening in Geneva, Switzerland to approve not one but two different agreements. They basically have the same purpose. I kind of think of it as a belts and suspender kind of approach to make sure that they get the power that they seek in the interest of advancing what those Chinese Communist Party folks call global governance. Now, if nothing else I've said to you has given you some unease about all this, I hope that term will, because there's a, well, world, if you will, of difference between the idea of a global government and our constitutional limited representative government of the United States of America. And indeed, the difference is, as Mark Twain quipped at one point, the difference between, he wasn't using it in this context, obviously, but it's relevant, the difference between lightning and lightning bugs. What you get with a global government or global governance is an unaccountable, unrepresentative arrangement by which your lives will be managed or mismanaged, as we saw in the pandemic, governed, and possibly destroyed. And that's where this idea of them being your doctor comes in. Under this arrangement, and for simplicity's sake, I won't get you into all of the details. There are international health regulations that currently govern how the World Health Organization operates. They are amending them. Just to give you a sense of it, in 100 different places, these amendments would change the word may to the word shall, which gives you a sense of the compulsory nature of this. The other agreement is something they're calling the pandemic agreement. Often they slip and call it the pandemic treaty, but you're not supposed to say that because they don't want it to be submitted to the United States Senate as a treaty, because it assuredly would not meet the two-thirds majority test of the Senate in its constitutional role as advising and consenting to treaties. But without getting too much into those details, the point is that either of these agreements, let alone both of them, would have the same effect. They would give Tedros Ghebreyesus the ability, not just at the macro level, to direct us as a nation at the expense of our sovereignty, at the expense of our constitution, but they would impact your medical freedoms because, for example, he would be able to tell you, much as they did in an advisory role in the pandemic, what medicines may be used to deal with a pandemic or other, for that matter, public health emergency. For example, as they said in the pandemic, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are not to be used. And again, that was advisory, but you may have noticed it became effectively the rule here. But in this case, it will not be a matter of maybe a state deciding to do that or not to do that. It will be a matter of compulsion. The government of the United States would effectively have to do what it's told. And the states who, actually, little known fact, under our Constitution, have the responsibility for health and public health policy. It is not one of the enumerated powers that is the reserve of the federal government in the Constitution. So your state's sovereignty will be affected, not just our nation's. But again, just hone in on this point. Imagine you're going in to see your doctor with some malady. Maybe that's disease X that they're advertising next. And your doctor would recommend, just to pick a therapy, ivermectin. Your doctor could conceivably lose his or her medical license for recommending that against the directions of the World Health Organization under this new arrangement. In places like France, they've actually adopted statutes that will ensure that you go to jail for a period of time if, as a doctor, you recommend something not approved by the World Health Organization. And then there's also this matter that if you actually speak about or write about or are in any other way critical of the direction that your new doctor, Dr. Tedros, gives, you can be censored. Because one of the things that this package of agreements will do is require the United States government to establish censorship mechanisms that will make anything said that is at odds with the direction from Geneva under the WHO impermissible. And just to bore in on that, as you may have heard, there's sort of three kinds of information. Infodemics, they're calling them in these agreements, where you might have malinformation, which is a interesting kicker. That's where it's not necessarily untrue. It's just not approved. You may have misinformation, which is wrong, or disinformation, which is deliberately misleading people. But all of these are going to be now the sort of thing that can be forced upon us, notwithstanding our First Amendment. There's another aspect of this that is also very troubling, especially if you had a taste of it in the pandemic. And that is, there will be, under this new program, this global governance arrangement, a digital ID issued to every human being on the planet The ostensible purpose will be to monitor your health and make sure that if there is something amiss, that it is tracked and thereby pulled into the immense big data of the World Health Organization to try to find out if it is, you know, a communicable disease that needs to be addressed by it. Well, as you may know, the trouble with a platform like this, digital ID, is not only that it can be used to affect your access to things, like, say, leaving your apartment, or leaving the country, or getting on public transportation, or getting money out of your bank account, or maybe even voting, or otherwise doing your daily life. And again, if this sounds incredible, what I've just described to you is another aspect of the China model. This is the China social credit system. And the fact that that infrastructure is being put into place as we speak, before this whole global governance thing kicks in just 11 weeks' time, if they have their way, you will find yourself asking for permission to do just about everything. And if it's on your digital ID, where you may find yourself is in what we call the digital gulag, not a free country like the United States has been. So, to just sort of summarize what I've shared with you, at the end of May, the nations of the world, with the strong support, in fact, the leading support of the United States government of Joe Biden, all other things being equal, we will find ourselves committed to one or possibly both of these agreements. Tedros Ghebreyesus will be put in charge of public health policy. And by the way, folks, this is hugely important. It's not just public health with respect to pandemics. It's anything Tedros Ghebreyesus calls a public health emergency of international concern. And by the way, we've had some indications from him as to what that might include. For example, he says climate change is a public health emergency of international concern. He says that transgender rights are, that reproductive rights are, that immigration rights are, that, this is a personal favorite of mine, gun violence is a public health emergency of international concern. Well, if you reflect on this for just a moment and realize that if he says that's a public health emergency and he has the power to tell you what you must do about it, what are the chances that the orders that we will be getting from Tedros Ghebreyesus will be more or less kind of the orders or the advice, I should say, at the time that he gave in the pandemic, which is to say bad advice or bad orders or orders that simply shred our Constitution and your fundamental freedoms guaranteed by it, given you by God. That's where we find ourselves at the moment. So let me just...
frozen right now.
Oh, I'm frozen. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hey, Frank,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you again. Okay. You just froze for a little bit, but we can hear you. It's powerful what you're sharing.
So. I was just getting to the denouement. Let me just conclude by saying, as the Chinese communists run Zoom, I'm amazed they've let me go this long, to be honest with you. But let me just say, it doesn't have to be this way, folks. I had a providential experience last week at a meeting out in California with a man I know well and have worked with for a long time, but I had a chance to have a real mind meld with Richard Viguerie. You may know him. He was one of the leaders of the conservative movement at its inception, the modern conservative movement, and has been ever since, really. And we had a talk about the last time the United States government set about to surrender our sovereignty to some foreign power. I would argue that was in 1977, when Jimmy Carter decided he was going to surrender the Panama Canal that we had built in the nation of Panama. And Richard told me an interesting story about what came of that. It was fought tooth and tong. And one of the products of that honing fire was that modern conservative movement of which he was a part. It also produced a national leader in the person of my old boss, Ronald Reagan. And not least, it created a powerful force that when the Panama Canal Treaty was approved by a single vote margin.
Frank's frozen again.
In the aftermath.
Just wait here a second and see
hello,
if he.
Hello, am I back? Hello?
Returns what he said.
In the aftermath. In the aftermath, hello.
I can hear Frank. I think he's okay.
In the aftermath of that vote, 20 members of the United States Senate who voted for that treaty were fired by their constituents in the next two election cycles. So my concluding point to you is this, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that this is our Panama Canal Treaty moment. Actually, what's at stake is vastly more comprehensive in terms of our security interests, our personal sovereignty, as well as our national sovereignty. And it must be fought with every bit as much vigor as they did in 1977. And out of it, I think we may find a rebirth of freedom and conservative values and a movement in this country. And maybe new leadership and certainly a cleaning house in Washington, D.C., where it's needed urgently. Thank you. I don't know how much of that you heard at the end, but I hope you got it all.
You're doing great. Thank you so much, Mr. Gaffney. We're so grateful that you came on. Is there any action steps for our listeners? Is there anything else that we can do?
Absolutely.
Like to share? Okay.
100%. The main point is to become knowledgeable about this. There are two websites that I would recommend to you for that purpose. One is what I helped found. It's called the Sovereignty Coalition. And you can find that at sovereigntycoalition.org. Another one put together by Dr. Merrill Nass, one of our members, also a frontline doctor like Dr. Malone, a woman who lost her medical license or has had it suspended, I guess, in Maine. For recommending ivermectin during the pandemic. She has a site called doortofreedom.org. And there's a huge amount of information there about all of this. But the action item, the specific action item that I would strenuously ask of you all is not only to pray, and not pray for the WHO, please. Pray for those of us who are trying to keep us free of its tyranny. But also go to sovereigntycoalition.org. Right there on the front page, you'll find a document we call the American Sovereignty Declaration. If you agree with it, and I think if you've been on Jim Carlow's calls, you do probably agree with it, and hopefully what I've said as well. Sign it. And then take the next step, which is what's called an Align Act button initiative, and that will allow you to communicate directly to your member of Congress and your two senators, letting them know that you don't want any part of surrendering our sovereignty to the World Health Organization, and that you expect them to do what they have sworn a solemn oath to do, every single one of them, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you'll take that step, it's a first step, but it's a critically important one at this moment. And then you can become part of the effort, the fight that we're going to have over the next 11 weeks that I pray will save our country from this terrible, terrible fate. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Don't forget to hit subscribe to keep up to date with our latest episodes. Leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.